Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, just real quick. Again, if you log on to bestlifechurch.org/activity, you'll be able to access all of the slides that we go through from one week to the next. And I trust you guys are doing that, because we all know that the things we hear once, we maybe will hold on to 10% of it. So, like we've always said, if just because you hear something doesn't mean what? See what I mean? 10%. Just because we hear something doesn't mean what?
That it's you.
That it's become you. Let's say that. Just because I hear something doesn't mean it's become me. That's the biggest challenge we have, is we think since we heard something that it's actually become us, and we file it away in our spiritual Rolodex and we check it off the list. Yeah, I got that one. When the reality of it is, it's not about you hearing something. It's about you farming the revelation from that and it becoming who you are and how you live. And everybody said, amen. Preach it, brother. Okay. Not, oh brother. So bestlifechurch.org/activity. All the slides are there. All the verses we go through are there. I say that as much for the folks that are online. You can access those slides and let them sink in. We're in the middle of a series on free indeed. Again, John chapter 8, verse I believe 32 in the Passion Translation says, if you embrace the truth, everybody say embrace.
Embrace.
Everybody say embrace.
Embrace.
Say it one more time, it sounds so good.
Embrace.
Embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your life. So it's not about hearing something. Somebody said, well, brother, the verse says, if you hear the word, that's how faith comes. Well, if you are translating faith incorrectly and you're thinking it's just something that you latch a hold of and adhere to, then I guess that verse could make sense, but that's actually not what that verse means, is it? I said, is it? It's actually talking about the revelation of faith, and that doesn't come from you, it comes from Him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. That means if you hang around with Him long enough, you'll arrive. Amen? I know people say, well, you just never arrive. Well, that's not true. Because as soon as the revelation of the things from heaven get in you and they become you, you've arrived in that area. You just begin to live that way and work, and you move that way and you have your being that way. That's arriving. There may be some other things that you don't arrive in yet, but that's not in that area. You're working to get established in the present truths. Amen? So, we're going to talk about some things, and before we do that this morning, it's all in line with living life from revelation versus living life out of your own head. A lot of times what happens is when you show up in a room, the biggest expert in that room is you or me. And what we need to understand is the biggest one in the room always that needs to be is Him. He may have something He wants to say. Right? Notice how the Spirit of God had Paul pray, and we're going to pray this morning. He said, I never stopped interceding for you. This is Ephesians chapter 1. My heart is full of thanks to God for you, and I pray continually that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would unveil in you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the riches of revelation, of the Spirit of revelation, through the fullness of knowing about Christ. Is that what it says? Oh, being one with Christ. How many know there's a difference about than knowing about Him and being one with Him? Right? I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of our great hope of glory. We know that is the reason He called you to Himself. And then He goes on to say this, I pray that you explore and experience for ourselves, or yourselves, all that the riches of this wealth that has been freely given to you. There's a lot of freelies in this book we have. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would unveil the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the riches of the Spirit of revelation to us through the fullness of being one with you. We pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of our imagination, flooding us with light until we experience the full revelation of our great hope of glory. We know that's the reason you've called us to yourself. We pray that we'll explore and experience for ourselves the riches of this wealth that's been freely given to us as your holy ones. That's a lot of information, a lot of stuff packed in that verse. You remember last week we talked about the unification in Hebrews chapter 1, in previous days prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth, there was revelation that was revealed a little bit here, a little bit there, through this prophet, through that prophet. But it says in these last days, the Father, everybody say Father, the Father communicates to us through the language of a Son. And you remember how we talked about the imagery of sons and daughters live in the house. They're always a part of the conversation. It's only the ones that esteem themselves as servants that live outside the house. And the only time that they get any conversation is when they go in to the house, get something, but then they know they don't belong there, or they feel they don't belong there, and they leave. So they're only getting bits and pieces of information, right? But the Holy Spirit, in the letter we call Hebrews, that very possibly Peter could have penned that letter. Some believe Peter penned it because there's similar things in his letters of 1st, 2nd Peter. I almost said 3rd Peter, but he didn't write one. I guess, you know, Hebrews could be 3rd Peter. Some folks say that Paul wrote it, some folks, someone else. But the fact is there's a lot of things in that letter we call Hebrews that was written to the Jewish culture population about this new season we're in, this new environment that we're in. And upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter admonished the people in light of seeing the manifestations of the Spirit upon them and them being able to pray out of their spirit, one spirit with him. I'll just touch on this real quick. You know, there is a thought process when it comes to, if you mention the issue of, or the subject of speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, there's a thought process that says, well, that's not God. And to say that's not God, you would have to make the assumption that you know all there is to know that is from Him. And well, we just won't have that conversation. It's not plausible. And is it possible there are parts of Him that, and things that He's given over to us, that just because your mental man has been trained a certain way, is it possible that maybe your mental man, because the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness, that's Romans, to the natural mind, it rejects those things. Is it possible that the thought processes that you have adopted that say that praying out of your spirit is not Him, is it possible that someone else's mental man simply came up with that because they rejected it, therefore since they rejected it, everyone else should too? When the fact of the matter is once you plug into that, you're really not qualified to speak on the subject until you plug into it. I don't care how many stories there are out there, you weren't there. Right? We try to make hearsay stories be the gospel, and the fact is, you just weren't there. But when the evidence we do have out of the scriptures is that Jesus said, you need to go and don't do a thing until you receive the gift of my Father. The gift of the Father was not the Holy Spirit in, the gift of the Father was the Holy Spirit upon us. It's so amazing how much we don't make the choice to live life with the gift of the Father. Peter said by the Spirit of God that the God's promise of the Holy Spirit, and I put in parentheses, upon you, this is Acts 2:39, is for you and your families, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. How in the world did we take what He just said, strip it of its context, and say, well, that just means you're going to heaven? I don't see any conversation in the context of these verses anywhere that talks about us going to heaven. Nor do you even see any of that context in the beginning parts of the letter of the book of Acts that Luke penned from the Spirit of God, that Jesus was communicating to them about going to heaven. He spent 50 days. I mean, how much does it take 50 days? Does it take 50 days to sit down with your boys and talk to them and your girls and talk to them and say, okay, if you believe in me, this is day one. Can you see this conversation? Day one, after the resurrection, He sits down with them and He says, okay, I'm Lord. If you believe in me, you go to heaven. Got it? Got it. Day two. What are you going to talk about? It said He spent 50 days teaching them about things concerning the kingdom of God. The reason is because the kingdom of God is an ever-going constant. Now we're back to Hebrews chapter 1, because when Jesus came into the earth, the Eternal One, the Son, came into the earth, took an earth suit on, He literally fused the realm of eternity and the natural realm into one arena. And this is why He said, Nathaniel, you impress too easily. Because you're getting ready to see the Son of Man as if angels ascend and descend upon Him, as if He was a ladder reaching into heaven and He connects heaven and earth together. Why? Because now the heavens are open and the realm of eternity and the natural realm are one. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says this, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away." Everybody say wiped away. "In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You see that phrase, "in order that"? In other words, there's something that precedes times of refreshing. Everybody say refreshing. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you, let's say I had access to the best water that ever existed, and I give everybody a big old glass, and then I filled it up with this, the best water that ever existed, and then everybody went to take a drink and said, wait, and I came back behind you and I sprinkled some dirt in your water. Only about that much. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not much. Would that be good to drink? Would that be refreshing? Somebody says, "Well, sure, we're all dirt." Shut up, dirt man. Anyway. The answer would be no, it wouldn't be refreshing. I probably would not drink that. But this verse says, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away." If I say wiped away. "In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now, the Passion Translation says, "Have your sins removed so that you can participate in the gift of the Father." Let me ask you a question. What's the significance of having our sins removed? Why is that? What's the big deal? Somebody? No barrier. Let's explore that one for a little bit. What is it? When we say there's no barrier, what's the barrier? Okay, now we're doing dictionary definitions. Now we're still doing dictionary definitions. Does anybody know what the barrier is? Somebody said something over here. What did you say? You said shame? That's part of it, yeah. Anybody else? Personal condemnation, that's good. Somebody else said guilt, that's good. Anything else? Isn't it interesting that at first glance we just kind of gave the words that are naturally coming, but they're really not defining what the barrier is. We had to stop and go dig a little and bore down a little farther. So, the significance of having our sins removed is it removes the guilt, it removes the shame, it removes the personal condemnation, it removes the... Did I say guilt? Yeah. So that, and the result of that is, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So now let me ask you another question. What does that look like? Joy? You said peace. What is peace? When we talk about peace, what is peace? Is it a warm, fuzzy feeling? A stillness inside, okay. Okay. Do you recall what we've defined peace as? Well, someone has defined it that way, which is true. But it actually, in its origin, it's actually a carpentry word. Does anybody know what it refers to? A dovetail joint. Not the one you smoke. Don't get all excited about me. I'm just feeling the spirit. It's a carpentry term. It refers to a dovetail joint where two pieces are joined together and they're literally inseparable unless you break it. They actually become one piece. And it's speaking of that union, like we've talked about this morning even, the union between you and Father, you're one, no pun intended, you're one piece. Right? Times of refreshing will stream from the presence of the Lord. Verse 21 of Acts chapter 3, I believe it is. We must remain in heaven. He must remain, speaking of Jesus, in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place. So what does the restoration, what is all, when it says the restoration of all things must take place before he returns, what is the all that we're talking about? What does it include? What does it include? Somebody said something, I talked over. I know I heard somebody say something, and I just... The kingdom. Okay, what's included in that? Let's get specific, because otherwise we'll live in these ethereal generalities. When he says the restoration, according to the context of the verses, and according to what we've talked about last week, what does... All things being restored. What are some of the all things that are restored? Us back to the original. I like that. Relationship with Him. Yep. Yep. Yeah, knowing that He's our Father and that we're in the family. How about the family conversation? That family conversation has been restored, right? Because you're not outside the house anymore, you're inside the house. So the Holy Spirit upon a developed prophetic life brings... Prophetic is designed to contain what? To do three things. To encourage, bring encouragement to people. What's the next one? To build up. And the third one? And bring comfort. But there's one more. What is the prophetic designed to do? The fourth and final. It starts with silencio. You don't remember. Silence is whispering enemies. Do you remember Hebrews said that he has to remain? He was told to sit down at my right hand until I silence your whispering enemies and make them a rug under your feet. He must stay there until the restoration of all things. Part of that restoration is the restoration of the Spirit upon human beings, flowing in that prophetic lifestyle, that every time you reveal something from the heart of Father to someone else, you are silencing His whispering enemies that are whispering in that person's ears, in their heads. It's important we understand that, folks, so that the prophetic lifestyle never again gets relegated to, well, that's just not my gift. Only because you didn't take the practice field. You might as well say amen. Yeah. Your sins being removed is communicated frequently in that letter we call Hebrews. You ready to go on a little ride here? One person is. Okay, why don't you just come sit up here with me and I'll just talk to you straight. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says, the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor. So he just got done talking to us about in previous times he used to reveal a little bit of truth, a little bit of truth from this prophet, from that prophet, line upon line, a little bit here, a little bit there. But he says in these last days, which we're in the last days, right? Because Acts said, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all. Men, women, everybody. This gift is for you, for your ma and pa, for your relatives yet to be born, and for you standing right here listening to this. The Spirit upon, which contains the activity of dreams, visions, prophetic, and they were speaking out of their spirit at the time, so that obviously is part of it too. Right? Let me ask you a question. What happens when you are speaking something out of your spirit, we call it tongues, and then you get the understanding of that and you shift over into English and start speaking the same thing? What did you just do? You just stepped over into prophetic. Because the prophetic prophecy means what? The unveiling of the mind of another. Right. When Father calls those things that be not as though they were, it doesn't say he did it in English. It doesn't say he did it in Hebrew. So it goes on to say, after it says that in these last days he's spoken to us through the language, he's spoken to us openly in the language of a son. He goes on to say this in verse 3, that was verse 1 and 2. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mere image. Isn't it interesting that we'll read that verse and we'll say, yeah, the sun was the mere image of the Father, but we don't realize that what he's actually saying here is he's actually communicating exactly what was when he made man to begin with. We're making man in our image, after our likeness. So this verse could say, the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's likeness, the exact expression of his true image. Let me say restoration. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. What is prophetic? His spoken word. Right? Watch this. By the way, you like that little sponge? Yeah. I can see it perfectly. I don't know what you guys use here. That's right. You go to the website. Then you can look at it on your phone, this big. Turn your phone sideways, maybe. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins. Everybody say, accomplished. Complete. Cleansing of sins. Okay, now you can stop. Then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. We've seen that scenario how many times in the book of Acts, and now it's mentioned again here in Hebrews, and the fact that he sat down because he accomplished complete cleansing. Now, what does complete mean? But is it really complete though, really? Come on. Is it really? What is it supposed to be? It is. Jesus, you better come down. You better do it over because it's supposed to be. But that isn't. But that's not what that says though. It says it's complete. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 in Hebrews, it says, he annihilated the effects of the intimidating accuser. who holds against us the power of death. Verse 15, by embracing death, Jesus, the man, sets free those who live their entire lives in bondage. Now, did he set free or is he going to set free? Are you sure? Chapter 2, verse 17 of Hebrews says this, this is why he had to be a man and take hold of our humanity in every way. He made us his brothers and sisters and became our merciful and faithful priest before God, king priest, excuse me, as the one who removed our sins to make us... Now, did he remove our sins? Are you sure? So then he made you one with him. Right? So you're one with him? Because he removed your sins? Let's talk about food this morning. In fact, you guys can come on up here and sit with the rest of us up here so you can participate in our eating. The Passion Translation in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, we're just going to run all the way through Hebrews up to chapter 6, and you're going to see how many times this letter, just to chapter 6, not even counting past that, because it gets into it even more detail after chapter 6 about the fact that he's accomplished complete cleansing for you. And what does that mean? Passion Translation in chapter 3, verse 1. By the way, did everybody get my text yesterday about the most inexpensive place to get the full version of it? Yeah. You can highlight, you can paste in notes, in words, in attach different words in the verse and everything. And you can also, if you like to look at more than one translation at a time, one of my brothers was nice enough to turn us on to Gateway. What is it? Is it Gateway? Gate? Is that it? Bible Gateway? Yeah. BibleGateway.com, you can actually pull up like three or four translations all side by side. It's pretty awesome. So, you know, take advantage of that stuff. But if you like to highlight and paste notes from other letters, other books into a particular verse like I do, you can get that whole entire Passion Translation on, what is it, CBD? ChristianBookDistributors.com. For $7.98. So we're going to talk about food this morning. Passion Translation, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. So dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each one of you is invited. Everybody say 100% pure organic. To the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully on Jesus. Why do we want to fasten our thoughts fully on Jesus? Because he's 100% pure organic. Isn't he? Didn't he make you 100% pure organic? He accomplished cleansing forever. What does it mean when food is not organic? Let's start there for the folks that don't know. Yes. Anybody else? Altered? Altered, a bunch of additives. Watch this. Passion Translation, processed. How many of those, too many people have been processed by religion? Passion Translation, this is amazing how the natural realm will exactly mesh with the eternal realm in a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Christ is more than a servant. He was faithful as a son in charge of God's family. He goes on to say he's the builder of the house. I wish I could say it like you're supposed to, but I can't. My wife would just say, stop, just stop. And now we are part of his family if we continue courageously to hold firmly to our bold confidence and victorious hope. Now let me ask you a question. Is the confidence yours, or is it, and is the hope yours? It comes from Him. Because of your union with Him. Verse 7. This is why the Holy Spirit says, if only you will listen to His voice this day. Somebody say prophetic. Passion Translation in chapter 3, verse 11. Enter into the calming rest of my spirit. Can you say, because I farmed revelation? How many know, what's the result of you either A, farming revelation for you, or you be on the receiving end or giving someone a prophetic impression or a prophetic word from the Spirit of God that you had on the inside of you that you communicated to them? What does it produce in them? What does it produce in you? Rest. Passion Translation, chapter 3, verse 14. For we are mingled. Everybody say mingled. We were mingled with the Messiah. Did you know you're mingled with the Messiah? There's no way to separate that. You're mingled with the Messiah. If you continue unshaken in this confident assurance from the beginning to the end. Passion Translation, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into His realm of resting in confident faith, and we could say in confident, in the confident revelation that faith brings. Right? So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of the promise. And in order to do that, we have to make sure we're feeding on 100% pure organic. Right? And not fail to experience it. The letter of Hebrews talks a whole lot, and Ephesians talks a lot about experiencing Him. So without choosing to embrace the full revelation of our complete cleansing, isn't it amazing? The amazing revelation of the eternal realm and the natural realm. No one in the natural realm likes MSG because you're not created to like MSG in eternity. You say, well, there isn't any MSG in eternity. You're right. But for the sake of conversation, this will never leave you or forsake you ever. MSG is more sin garbage. You don't want to feed on anything that has more sin garbage in it. Just like we don't want to eat any food that has MSG in it. Right? The Passion Translation, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by the revelation. Everybody say revelation. Of righteousness. Verse 14, solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters, and they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what's evil and harmful. How many know MSG is harmful? Isn't it amazing there are so many folks that don't recognize the presence of MSG in what they feed on as His offspring? They've rejected the revelation of their identity as a son and a daughter. They prefer and they're more comfortable thinking of themselves as that servant that lives in the barn. And from the barn, they have conversations with one another, saying, well, we just never know what God's going to do. It's because you're not in the house. You're in the barn. Leave the barn, go in the house, and you'll know what Father's going to do. Because you're going to be in on the conversation. We gotta make a shirt. Leave the barn and get in the house. I trademarked that. The Passion Translation of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Now is the time for us to progress beyond the basic message of Christ and advance into perfection. This conversation makes people nervous. You know what happens when you give a servant the inheritance of the family? What's the first thing they say? Oh, I can't take this. I don't deserve this. The same words come out of somebody who has his DNA, but they still think they're a servant in the barn. I didn't really mean to get off on barn living this morning. We were kind of focusing on the eating line of thought. But notice that the revelation of you as a son and a daughter and being involved in the conversation in the house and embracing the accomplishment of Jesus of completely cleansing you from all sin is like feeding on something with no MSG. The Passion Translation in chapter 6 of Hebrews verse 9 goes on to say this, there are more beautiful and excellent things which flow from your salvation. How many know there are more beautiful and excellent things that flow from your salvation that you may not have let flow out yet? What flow of revelation? Here's a thought. What flow of revelation do we stop when it comes to prophetic things? Or just the flow of revelation in general? What flow of revelation do we stop because we choose not to embrace being perfected in righteousness? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question. Because you know what's in your head. I know what's in mine. Chapter 6, verse 13. Notice this. Passion Translation of Hebrews says, now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, he swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. Verse 14. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a son and multiply you without measure. I want you to notice that. I bless you over and over and I give to give you a son and to multiply you without measure. Now I want to submit this for your thought process. That promise is the DNA that's contained in every prophetic release that he communicates to every person. What was the prophetic, what was it designed to do for a person? To encourage, to build up, and to comfort. Why? Because the DNA of everything that he speaks to you or through you will have that DNA as I bless you over and over and multiply you without measure. Notice the words over and over means there's no end. So does without measure. That makes people nervous. I want to ask you a question. Do you think it bothers Father to tell you that the blessings that he has in his heart for you are without measure? Are you sure?
Yep.
then how come we say we have the Spirit with measure? Where'd that come from? Too much MSG. Do you see how this theological stuff just doesn't gel, folks? That wasn't in my notes. I just throw that in there for free. So he goes on to say this in the Passion Translations, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. In the same way, God wanted to end all doubt and confirm it even more forcefully to those who would inherit his promises. His purpose was unchangeable, so God added his vow to the promise. Now verse 18 says this, so it is impossible for God to lie. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Can I ask a question? How do we reconcile these two statements? God does not lie, and but I am. And you can fill in the blank for you. How do you reconcile those? Anyone want to give it a shot? No? You can't reconcile them, can you? But yet we'll say, God does not lie, and say, amen, preach it. And then we'll turn around and say, yeah, but I'm... I should have put yeah, but. Everybody has a yeah, but. Except for him. He wants you to lose your yeah, but. There's no yeah, but farms in heaven. Verse 18 and 19, let's continue with that verse. For we know that his promise and his vow will never change, and now we have run into his heart. Everybody say run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. Whose hope? His. That's why by the time you get to Hebrews 11, it says that faith is the evidence or the undergirding support of things hoped for, but it's not your hope, it's his hope he's trying to get over to you. Y'all still here? Verse 19, we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Chapter 4, verse 7 in the Passion Translation says this, for God still has ordained a day, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, for us to enter into, and it's called, what's it called?
Today.
Why is it called today? Why is it always now? Anybody? Why is it always now? Because Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, in these last days, because of the Eternal One and the man, Christ Jesus, he's fused the natural realm and the eternal realm together, and there is only one time in heaven, and it is now. It's today. So everything that you've got, everything that you get as a result, anything that's revealed from heaven to you is revealed to you based on the fact that it's already been done. So everything that flows out of you, if you're communicating to somebody an impression that you have, and you want to, you say, I just feel like the Lord wants you to know this, and you give this to them, or he gives you a thought, or you see a glimpse of a picture of something, and you say, well, I just had this glimpse. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I just saw, and you tell them what you saw. What you're getting is simply a communication of what has already been and is right now for them. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into called today. For it was long afterward that God repeated it in David's words, if only you would listen to his voice. Everybody say, prophetic revelation. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There's still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. There's that word experience again. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in him. It's so fascinating. I love the way this reads in the Passion Translation, because most of the time when you talk to people about ceasing from their own works, here's what it looks like. Okay. I'm gonna try to keep my head quiet. I'm gonna try. Is that celebrating anything? You'd be done woe out doing that kind of life. He says that the rest that's for us because of our union with him is the same way that God stopped and celebrated because he was done. So we stop because we don't need to strive because we're celebrating, it's done. Whatever we speak to people, it's because it's already done. Whenever the Spirit of God says something to you, it's because it's already done. Every time you open His Word and spend time with Him, we do that every day, right? Every time He shows you something, He's communicating what's already done. Because the natural and the eternal are already fused together. When Jesus accomplished complete cleansing of sins for you, it's done. That's why he's sitting, as far as the imagery goes. Verse 11, so then we must give our all. Everybody say, give my all. And be eager to experience this faith rest life, or the revelation of faith, the rest that the revelation of faith brings. So, how do we celebrate something that we don't embrace? It's another one of these questions. How do we celebrate something we don't embrace? You can't. So that means your resting is not really the celebration resting. It's you're still living in the barn. Because we all know, I got to go paint the house before I can even show my face inside. Really? Well, I got to sweep the porch. Come on, man. How do we recognize, let's take it over into the prophetic realm. How do we recognize, or the prophetic lifestyle, I should say. How do we recognize his real-time encouragement and his communication that builds up, or his spontaneous comfort from the one who knows everyone else for others, if we don't even choose to embrace it for us. Here's the thing. How do we silence his whispering enemies in other people's lives when we don't choose to silence them in our own? Did you ever wonder why? I mean, religion would tell you that, well, you've been forgiven, you've been saved to serve, brother. So you got put on the farm to go live in the barn. Really? Is that the best we can do? Do you ever wonder why there's so many places in the Word of God where it talks about you, like Peter said in 1 Peter, or one of his letters, first or second, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. That's probably King James or whatever. But it's basically, get a hold of your emotions. My dad said it in a way that was a little more straightforward. He said, straighten up and fly right. But do you ever wonder why the Word of God talks so much about paying attention to what's going on between your own two ears? Why it was so important for him to cleanse you and to accomplish the cleansing of all sin from you? Why the very next thing that Jesus talked to his folks about before he ascended was to go to Jerusalem and be endued with the Spirit upon you? He didn't even focus on the whole, well, let's just make sure that you don't screw up and do a bunch of sinning, because that would really screw things up for me. That wasn't anything he talked about. In fact, this same letter of Hebrews says that when he comes back again, he won't even have sin on his mind. So why do you let those whispering enemies yap in your yard? There's a reason why we need to spend time with him in his word every day of our life, because the natural arena does not stop. The influences, those yapping enemies, whispering enemies of his, they don't stop. They continue to shovel all kinds of garbage, MSG, into your head, into your yard, into your food. It becomes harder and harder, and we'll get into this in coming days, that you'll actually come to the place, if you keep feeding on this stuff, you'll come to the place where you become so dull you won't even recognize what's him and what's not him. It matters, folks. It matters what you feed on, and it also matters who you let play in your yard. Because every time you choose not to shut them up, you are training yourselves not to listen to. What does it say? You're training yourself not to recognize You're training yourself, you're developing a lifestyle that is not training you to experience and to perceive those things that actually come from him. Is this making sense? He needs you to learn how to Allow yourself to be trained so that you recognize the difference between what is truly excellent and what is harmful. All those whispering enemies, every time we choose to let them sit there and yap, you're eating non-organic product. And it's laced with all kinds of additives. May look good, may shine under the lights. You eat it. A little while later, you feel like crap. And then somebody who eats organic tries to talk you into it, and you say, oh, it doesn't take all that. No, that's not it. Because you haven't allowed him to train your life to recognize those things that are truly excellent versus those that are harmful. It's not just a minor thing what we let go in our heads and stay there. Why do you think the word talks so much about not letting roots of bitterness and taking offense stay inside of you? Because it contaminates, it's more MSG. It causes you to not recognize what's authentically pure from Him. Amen? You guys get anything out of this? You'll never look at the word MSG the same ever again. So the next time you go into a restaurant and they have on the wall no MSG, you need to just break out and say, "Praise Jesus!" They'll look at you like, "Oh my gosh, what happened?" No more sin garbage in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, y'all can stand up. Holy Spirit, thank you for breaking this down for us. Thank you for giving it to us in ways that parallel where we already are familiar. But I ask you to cause this revelation to root, to take root, not just in the people that are in the room here, but to root in the people that are on internet land, so that you can bring them into the reality of who they really are. Because you have a desire in your heart to raise up a generation of people that only feed and recognize what's truly 100% purely organic from you. Because there are people in these cities that need a change of diet. From the very moment that they begin to take in those things that come from you, because we allow ourselves to develop in these prophetic areas, they taste a difference immediately. They feel a difference immediately. And the response is they run after you, they run into you, they want more. You've given them the taste of the things of heaven, and they want more. And I just declare that right now, in the matchless name of Jesus, that people in this city, as we develop in the release of prophetic things from heaven, that they begin to run to you. And it will come to a place where so many people are running to you that others will just get swept up in the tide. But eventually they'll taste and see that you're good too. I declare that in the name of Jesus. The days that we're in are days of the restoration testimony. What you tried to do, figured it out in your own head, with the entrance of the revelation from the Spirit of God, it will take but a moment. I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you that you're raising up people that refuse to live by hearsay. They refuse to live by somebody else's story. They refuse to live by somebody else's revelation. But they run into your heart. And they are anchored there because revelation anchors them there. And I give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that prayer, says, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.